It's possible for us to go throughout Christmas and miss the reason why we're celebrating what we celebrate. I've had the opportunity as a pastor in ministry to travel all over the world. I've taken about 40 different trips to different parts of our globe for the sake of the gospel and changed time zones many different times. One time I flew from China back to America, and 4 days later I got on a plane again and flew to Africa. I didn't know what time zone it was or where I was. I just got up in the morning when people told me to wake up. It's possible to miss Christmas, not just theoretically, but really miss Christmas if you're traveling throughout time zones. There's a thing called the International Dateline. It is an imaginary line that runs north to south, and it cuts the Pacific Ocean basically in half. It diverts a bit to get territories and miss countries and keep them to where they're not split. But the International Dateline gives us our 24-hour periods. So if you're traveling around the world and you cross the International Dateline going east, it's possible for you to relive the 24-hour period you just came from. If you're coming and you go west, it's possible for you to miss a whole 24-hour period, in essence, on a calendar. Commercial airline pilots say that if you're traveling close enough to Christmas and you pass over the International Dateline at just the right moment, that you could literally miss December 25th. That you could literally miss Christmas. And it's possible for us to be sitting in this room, surrounded by these lights, surrounded by these songs of Christmas that we know very well. It's possible for us to walk the streets and see images that remind us of Christmas. Maybe a manger scene or Santa or Christmas trees. But in the middle of all of this, to miss Christmas. To miss what it's really all about. In America, where I come from, Christmas has become very commercialized. It's all about buying and giving and what deals you can get and what you will get under the tree. And many times we miss the purpose of Christmas. But the book of Galatians will remind us of the purpose of Christmas. So I want to lead you tonight, the next few moments, to think about Christmas maybe differently than you've ever thought about Christmas before, from a place that's unlikely to talk about Christmas. Not from Matthew's gospel, not from the gospel of Luke, but from an epistle written from the apostle Paul to a church in Galatia. The book of Galatians, chapter 4, and the apostle Paul says this in verse 4. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God. Today I want to say that Christmas is not necessarily about what you will get under a Christmas tree, nor even what you will give under that Christmas tree. It's not necessarily about all of these lights and maybe the feeling you get as you walk down Byers Road and see Christmas trees or lights. It is about Jesus. It is about Him. And a phrase that I hear a lot as I was growing up was, and we'd even see it in our churches, that Jesus is the reason for the season. But what does that mean, that Jesus is the reason for the season? It means that everything about this time of year centers around this gift of God that came to us. But most people don't think about this, and I love that Apostle Paul connects Christmas, connects the coming of Jesus with this thing called adoption. So tonight I want to say this. Maybe you've never thought about Christmas like this before, but Christmas is about adoption. The Bible says that at the right time, at just the right moment, when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son. And we don't know why that it was the fullness of time, except that it was God's sovereignly chosen time to send his Son into the world. We do know that the Greek language had spread across the known world, and that because of that, the apostles would be able to preach the gospel more freer than they ever would before. But it was the fullness of time. All of creation was waiting for this coming Messiah. And he did not come like they thought he would come. He came as a baby. He came as a baby who was marginalized. In a manger, surrounded by donkeys and sheep and goats. He was born in a manger and a crib and a trough that was for the feeding of animals. And the Bible says that at the right time he came, God sent forth his son, and it tells us something about this son, Jesus. It tells us two specific things, that he was born of a woman. That means that he came in the likeness of a man, that he was fully human. He experienced all the things that you and I experience. He experienced pain. He experienced physical pain on the cross. He experienced emotional pain of having some of his best friends, the people that had followed him for 3 years, literally deny him that night. He experienced emotion. He experienced sadness. He experienced great grief as he was in the garden. He cried out to the Father, "If this cup can pass in any other way, let it, but let your will be done." He experienced all the gamut of human emotions. He was born of woman. But the Bible also says he was born under the law so that he might redeem those who were under the law. He came fully under the law of God, but he lived it out perfectly. He was the sinless Son of God to redeem those of us, you and I, who were born under the law but don't live out the law of God perfectly. He came and he lived it out 100% to a T. He lived it perfectly. Why? So that he might bring redemption, to buy us back from slavery to sin. But it doesn't end there. The gospel doesn't end there. The good news of Christmas doesn't end with the baby in a manger. Many of us would like to keep Jesus in a manger. American culture would like to keep Jesus in a manger. I can say that because I'm from there. Possibly Scottish culture would like to keep Jesus in a manger. Because Jesus as a baby in a manger makes no claim on my life. The baby doesn't say to me, "Take up your cross and follow after me." The baby doesn't say to me, "Sell everything you have and give it to the poor and come after me." The baby makes no claim on my life, but the baby became a man. And Jesus calls us to follow after him. And he died ultimately to redeem us. But it doesn't end with that. He didn't just die so that we could have redemption, the forgiveness of our sins. He did that so that we might experience something that we had never experienced before in relation to God. The Bible says in Galatians 4 that he came to redeem those under the law, comma, so that something might happen. Something that would be life-altering for those who experience this redemption. And here's what it is. So that we might receive adoption as sons. Now, you may not have ever thought of yourself as one who has been adopted. But if you're a Christ follower tonight, truly a Christ follower, you have been adopted into the family of God. January 1st of 2010, my wife and I began our year by getting on a plane in Tampa, Florida, and flying to Addis Ababa, Ethiopia, where we would bring home our daughter, Jane Lael Setliff. Our daughter is 3 years old. Our oldest daughter, Ava, is five. She's here with us these weeks in Scotland. Our youngest daughter, Jane, is at home, and she is an Ethiopian. She is now an Ethiopian American. She's from Ethiopia. We adopted her into our family. And from one who's walked through the process of adopting, maybe some of you have been adopted or walked through that process yourself, it is a costly process. It cost us about $25,000 to do that. Money which we did not have, but God supplied through his people. It was inconveniencing at many times. Droves of paperwork that took us about a year. Trips to Ethiopia. A trip to get her and bring her home. But in all of that, she is now a Setliff. She bears our last name. She sits at our table every night and eats our food. She plays with the toys in our house. And now her experience is different. If she would have stayed in Ethiopia, I can say this with great confidence, she would probably be dead now. She had a cyst that was sitting on her liver, and it was causing it not to function properly when we found out about our daughter. So we were in a hurry to get her home because we wanted her to have this life-saving surgery in America. We got her home and she had the surgery about 6 months after we got her back, and she's healthy and vibrant now. But her reality is different now than if she had not ever been adopted, because she is a Setliff. She will be a Setliff until the day that I walk down an aisle and give her away to some guy who will have to prove himself to me. She will be a Setliff until that day, but she will always be my daughter. She doesn't look anything like us. In fact, when we go in public, it's quite funny. People look and they try to figure out what is going on. When I'm in public with her by myself and she runs off screaming and I run after her, people say, "Are you trying to kidnap that child?" But she's my child because I've adopted her. And the Bible says that if you are in Christ, you have been adopted. And that is really the purpose of Christmas. He came at the fullness of time so you could be redeemed from your sin. Oh yes, but also so you could be adopted and made to be a son or a daughter of the Most High God. And so now Jane's experience and my experience every day is a bit different. The Bible says in the end of this little passage in Galatians, it says, "Because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, crying, 'Abba, Father.' So you're no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God." The Bible says that we Christians cry, "Abba, Father." Abba means daddy. It can be taken two ways. It can be taken as the most basic phrase a baby could say, "Abba, dada." Or it could also be taken as a full throttle cry from a grown person, "Daddy, Abba." When I come home from work most days that are normal days, I get out of my car, I get my bag on my shoulder, and I walk towards the door, and I hear on our wood floors 4 feet coming towards the door. One stops, one body hits the door. That's Jane. And all the way to the door, she cries, "Daddy, Daddy, Daddy, Daddy." When I was in the orphanage visiting her, I got to visit her 3 times before we went to take her home. She was very sick. She was very docile. And she would just lay there in my arms. I remember calling my wife and she would say, "Tell me about her." And I said, "She is the most calm child I've ever seen." And she said, "Hallelujah." We got her home and she's way different. But I love her personality. And I love when she says, "Daddy." And I'll walk through the door and I will bring her in my arms and I'll pick her up to me along with Ava. And they are both my children. The Bible says, if we are in Christ, we have an experience with God that we didn't have before. Before we couldn't say to Him, "Abba." But now we can say to Him, "Abba, Daddy." So this Christmas, I ask you the question, how do you relate to God? Is He your Abba? Is He your Daddy? Do you see Him like that? Or do you see Him as a God who is far away and uninvolved in your life? Do you see Him as a God who is waiting for you just to mess up and then He's going to zap you from the sky? Do you see Him as a God who is unconcerned? Or do you see Him as a daddy who cares? The Bible says that He is an Abba. He is a father. He longs to be that to you tonight. If you don't know Him as that, you can know Him as that, because that is why Jesus came, to change your relationship with God. All of us are really miserable, kind of wicked sinners. But God came to us to make slaves and sinners to be sons and daughters. Don't miss Christmas this year. Don't miss Christmas in the midst of the presents and the lights and the singing, because Jesus has come so that we might experience adoption. Let me pray for us. Father God, we thank You that we can call You Father if we're in Christ. Father, we thank You that tonight the experience of the believer in this place is that we can relate to You as a daddy who cares deeply for us. And so, Father, whether it's the loss of a job or the report of cancer or relational strain or financial difficulty, You are our Abba, and we know that You care. But Father, I pray tonight, maybe for those who don't know You as that, that tonight Jesus would become real to them. Father, tonight Jesus would be not just a figure in a manger, but He would become the man who died on the cross for their sin so that they could become sons and daughters of the Most High God. Father, we thank You tonight that You came as a baby, but we thank You that You did not stay a baby. We thank You that You became that man, that God-man, who would bear our sin and then offer us a seat at the table, the family of God. We love You, Jesus. We pray these things in Your name. Amen.